707. 707. That's right, 707. Let's pray. Praise you, God. Father, we thank you today. We thank you once again, Lord, that you are always with us. We thank you, God, that when we turn to you, Lord, our eyes are opened, the veil's taken away, and we get to live and walk and move in revelation of who you are. Lord, tonight I pray for a fresh revelation, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that it be a fresh wind of your Spirit for each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you that you are so caring and you take such time and effort, Lord, to work in each one of our lives individually. And Lord, now as you have this opportunity where we're together, that you work on us together and work with us together and through us and in us, Lord. We just thank you that your presence is here. As your word promises, two or more gather in your name, you are here. So Lord, tonight we're here to worship you. We're here to exalt you. We're here to thank you. We're here to honor you and acknowledge you as the living God. We thank you today, God. We thank you for fresh revelation and understanding to come into each one of our hearts and minds. We lift your name up above every name, above every pain, above every concern, above every wish, above every worry. We lift the name of Jesus. We raise your banner high. Lord, we are gathered to your banner. We are here for your purposes, Lord, for your plans, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would just reveal to us tonight what you're doing so we can just do it with you. Just, Lord, let us be able to discern what your Spirit is saying to us today. Lord, I pray that our ears would be sharpened, Lord, that we would hear clearly, that our hearts would be open to receive. Lord, we thank you for that tonight. I pray, Lord, as we worship you, Lord, even with us, just a small group that's here, Lord, I pray that you would inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, according to your word, Lord, we desire to build for you an altar that you can come and inhabit, Lord, to build you a holy tabernacle, Lord. Lord, we're being built and fit together as stones, like building a tabernacle. And Lord, we thank you that you desire, Lord, to dwell amongst us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and makes us an acceptable sacrifice, an acceptable place of your presence, Lord. Lord, we offer our bodies as living sacrifice, as a place that's acceptable for your presence, a place that's acceptable, Lord, for you to come and dwell and be with. Father, we thank you for that tonight. We praise you. We give you glory. We acknowledge you. We honor you as the living God, that there's no other God but you. Lord, we agree and we declare that it's your word is above every other word, Lord, and that your name is above every other name. And we bow our knee, Lord, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ, you are Lord. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Worship you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have some worship time. I did get a couple prayer requests already. Do we have any other prayer requests as we go? Yes? Friend Sue. Okay, her husband, that's right, okay. Your friend Sue and her husband Keith, yeah. Father, we lift up Keith to you right now and Sue. And Lord, I just pray, God, that they would find you in the midst of all of this. I pray, Lord, that they would have revelation of heaven tonight. I pray that they would find you. I pray, God, that you would draw close to them. I pray, Father, that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened and open, that they would see and know what they have in the living God being present with them. I pray, Lord, that you'd heal Keith, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus for his healing. And we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, we also pray for Kristen, used to be Gepfer. Shriver, that's right. I remember now. Kristen Shriver. Father, I pray for her healing right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just cancel every attack of the devil against her body. Right now, in Jesus' name, we stand against. The name of the Lord Jesus rebukes this spirit of affliction upon her right now. And we release her from it right now in Jesus' name. Pain, leave her body. Whatever the symptoms are that is attacking her body right now, leave in the name of Jesus. And body, be made whole in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah.
Okay, guys, like I testified on Sunday, they can't see scarring or previous infections. There's no inflammation, but it's throughout my body. And the pain in my head from this last bout of iritis, the pain won't subside. And we know there's still seeing lesions on the brain. They don't know if it's present behind the eye. The doctor, I went for a third opinion. They work with John Hopkins at Memorial. And they're all Christians pretty much there. But he says, I believe you have a rare condition. I won't sit here and lie. And he said that he's thinking that when I had eye surgery when I was 3, the nerves, you know, when they fixed the cross eyes, were not, they're weakening now, so it's causing pain.
Okay, well, let's pray.
And I can't take it. It's like I can't even look
at it. Okay, everybody, let's pray. Let's thank you. We're looking today for a miracle. Yeah. We believe that our God is a God of miracles. He's a God that heals our disease. He bore the stripes upon his back for our healing today. Lord, we don't come today asking for something for nothing. We come asking for what was purchased on the cross of Calvary. We come asking, Lord, something that was purchased by great price. And Lord, the word says that Jesus bore stripes upon his back for our healing. And so, Lord, we come right now to collect on something that our wonderful Savior has already paid for, and that is Connie's healing. Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. We come right now through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. We come right now, Lord, as not as outcasts, but we come as the beloved. We come as those that have been made acceptable because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for healing Connie. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask right now that this pain would leave her head right now. Pain. Right now, leave her head now in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask right now that you would just begin to move in her life. And Lord, whatever it is and all these symptoms and all the causes and all of that, Lord, the doctors can't even figure out. But right now, Lord, you are the God that created this being. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your creation. We honor you, Lord, as the creator. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the right and authority to speak and things happen. So we speak according to the word of God. It's not our words. It's not something, like I said, it's not asking for something for nothing. It's been purchased by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Connie's healing. Connie, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Be healed. Pain go, symptoms go, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, according to his word, according to what he has accomplished on the cross of Calvary, every demon in hell must let go in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus rebukes you. The Lord Jesus has made a spectacle of you. You have no authority. You have no right. In Jesus' name, Connie, be healed right now. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give glory to God. Okay? Let's just give glory to God. Let's exalt him. Amen. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy to be exalted. Sometimes our sicknesses, because, you know, it happens to all of us, you know. Hello. Nice to see you. Sometimes, you know, we get weighted down with things. But, you know, the Bible says that we're to set our affections or our mind on things above. Right? And I know our aches and pains want to pull our thoughts down to where, you know, right in close to us and thinking about our situations and our problems. But, you know, when we bust through that and we set our mind on the things above, it says in Colossians, was it 3:1 or 1:3? I get them mixed up. But anyways, in Colossians, I think it's 3:1. It says to set our affections, or another version says set your mind on things above or things in heavenly places. Amen. And that's the wonderful thing about gathering together and lifting up the name of Jesus. It causes us to, hey, wait a minute. You know, there's another factor going on here. You know, I might have an ache or pain, or I might have something that happened in my life, but there's another factor, there's another equation, there's another something to put into this situation, and that is we've got the Lord Jesus Christ that loves us, that died, that shed his blood, that has empowered us. Amen? I was talking to someone today, you know, I said the wonderful thing is that the life that we're living now is not by our own strength. It's not by our own power. Right? Remember, Paul said, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Lord. It, you know, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And what kind of power is that? Amen? What kind of, you know, going beyond ourselves? We don't have to be limited to our own ability. We have the Creator, right, that's working in us. And he said that he began a good work, he's faithful, he'll complete it. And the Bible says that when we see him, we'll be like him, right? That's the ultimate goal, is that when you look at us and you look at Jesus, you see the same thing. And when we are with him, that's what's going to happen. Amen? That's the goal of the Father, because he would be like the first of many, the scripture says, the firstborn of this new creation. And Peter wrote, we are a new creation. We are after the new creation, that is Christ. As he is, so are we. Amen? Amen. So we're going to worship, have some worship time. Is there any more prayer requests? Bobby?
I'd like to pray for Terry Albert?
Yeah,
Fran.
Okay. Father, we just thank you for Terry. We thank you for the improvement that we've seen, Lord, since his pacemaker replacement and all of that. Lord, bless Terry, God. Give him strength, Lord. Just lift him up, Lord. Let his faith be strong. Let his body, Lord, be strong as well. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that, Lord. We lift up Fran. We thank you, God, for working in his life. Continue to do so. Lord, restore and rebuild and bless and fill his life with all that you are. Let there be incredible revelation, dreams and visions. And Lord, just visit him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, is he still in the hospital? The youngest clown for the Shriners, he was attacked. He's our friend. He was attacked randomly out of Englestown right after the last circus. Mm. And the guy just left him there. It was like a setup thing. And he had eye surgery at Hershey. It went well, but he's still recovering. They knocked his eye out of his socket. So, they did it out there at the Blue Moose out in Williamstown. They just came up behind him.
Well, Lord, bless him. Mm-hmm. Lord, bless this man. I pray, Father, for your presence to be upon him, Lord. Let him see you, Lord. Let his eyes be gazed upon you. Let him have such revelation of who you are. Bless him and heal him in Jesus' name. We lift up Greg Woods as well. Yes. Father, we just thank you for sustaining him and for covering him once again, Lord. And God, as he's in the hospital there at Hershey, Father, I just pray for your visitation. We thank you, Lord. We've heard the testimony, Lord, of you walking in that room and visiting him. Lord, do it again, Lord. Do it again. Visit him. Lord, I pray that he'd be encouraged. I pray that he'd be strengthened from his inner man, Lord. I pray that there'd be such an encounter with you, Lord, within his spirit, within his inner man, Lord, that his whole body becomes quickened and healed. Lord, bless him, heal him. Raise him up, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Just keep my coworker Dan's family in your prayers. His father passed away on Saturday. He's healing tonight and funeral tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Father, I just ask, Lord, as this family, Lord, is going through this time, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that despair and discouragement would be chased away. I pray, Father, Lord, that there would not be, Lord, a spirit of death and heaviness upon this family. But I pray, Father God, that they would understand the power of the resurrection. I pray, Lord, as they're mourning, as it says in Thessalonians, Lord, that they wouldn't mourn as those who don't understand and don't believe. But, Lord, they would realize, Lord, that you have swallowed up death in victory. And, Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with you. So, Father, bring joy, bring a release, bring a, just a fragrance of your presence, Lord, into their lives, Father. I ask that you'd bless them and you'd help them and through this time, Lord, and all the interaction with the family and all of those, Lord, that are left behind. Father, I just pray your blessing upon them, that you'd strengthen them and quicken them, and may your joy be the root of their strength. We thank you for it. We give you glory in Jesus' name. You know, as we were praying, that song just came back to me about it's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus says the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him over and over. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Amen?
Amen.
I remember that was the Holy Spirit, I think. Let's worship God. All right, good job. Let's worship the Lord. Let's take some time to focus on him as the music is played. Let's worship the Lord and focus on him and spend that time just in his presence. Amen? Thank you, Lord. We love your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him.
Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. I once was fatherless, a stranger with no hope. Your kindness wakened me from my sleep. Now your love, it beckons deeply, a call to come and die. By grace now I will come and take this life, take your life. Sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. From the grave you risen, in victory I flee. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. Up my lungs, now I'm free, now I'm free. My dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. Your breath fills up my lungs, now I'm free, now I'm free. Sin's lost, sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, yeah, in victoriously. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. truth. You are the life. You are the way.
Out on me, and your love it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Cause your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Amen. We'll have to sing that one again later. Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your love that never fails and never gives up and never runs out, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that it doesn't matter what the situation is, that as we sang, this thing remains, that your love never fails. Father, we thank you tonight, God, as we come to you right now. that we're living in the time, Lord. We're living in the situation right now that your love has not failed us. Lord, your love has not failed us. Your love, O Lord, has met us. Your love has lifted us up. Your love has renewed us, Lord. Your love has set us free. Your love has sent your only Son. We thank you, Lord, for such incredible love that you have bestowed upon us, that we should be called, Lord, children of God. Your love has not failed us, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we can depend upon, Lord, that we can rest upon, Lord, that we can lean upon, Lord, the steadfast love of the Lord that never changes. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We praise you, God. Lord, we thank you that even in 1 John, it describes you. It says God is love. And Lord, we thank you that your very nature and your very character of who you are, Lord, is just so awesome. And just, Lord, we thank you that you stand behind every word that you speak. That, Lord, that you love us that much that you would not dare speak a word that's not true. That your love, Lord God, is so genuine and so real. Lord, we thank you that even as you said you go to prepare a place for us, you said that if it was not true, you would not say so. Because, Lord, you spoke those words out of love. And, Lord, you have done all that you've done out of love. And we thank you tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. We give you glory, God, tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this great love that is ours. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. You sure can. I don't have another mic, but yeah, take that. You have to stay close to me now.
I know, I will. Frank looked at me and said, "What's the matter? Your eyes are all red. You got allergies or something." And I don't. I'm just overwhelmed tonight. I saw that word in the song, and I thought that explains it. I'm overwhelmed. I just want to give you an update on Kim. My daughter-in-law that was diagnosed with leukemia while she was pregnant. And for you that don't know, she had the baby 6 months ago, and the baby was perfect. And where do I want to go with this? 2 weeks ago, she had a bone marrow test that they have to go in and...
I want to loosen you so you don't have to be tied to me.
That's all right. Is it on?
Yeah, good.
Okay. They did a bone marrow test on her 2 weeks ago to check how her leukemia is doing. And she got her results today.
Mm. Hallelujah.
They couldn't find any leukemia.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo. Jesus.
I talked to Tim briefly. That's my son on the phone tonight. I said, "Well, did they use the word remission?" He said, "You know, the doctor said if they were going by the old definition of remission, she would be in remission. However, there's a new definition of remission, and they have leukemia cells, and then the leukemia cells give off a protein. There were no leukemia cells, but there was 0.1% of a protein in her blood, so they couldn't say that she's in remission. However, it's so minuscule that they're not even worried about it." So I just wanted to share that with y'all tonight.
Hey.
I wasn't going to come tonight because I have a gazillion things to do at home, but I thought, you know, I got to come and hope Doris is there so I can tell her.
I tell you what, whoa.
Glory to God.
Yes.
You know the importance of this to me. This is extremely valuable because he totally heals. He doesn't leave anything behind. Nothing. I mean, when I know when my body was loaded, and there wasn't much left. And I threw myself on that altar, and I put my hands out to him, and I says, can't do this no more. I tried. It wasn't up to me. And I completely gave it over. And I says, I can't do this no more. And I know what I saw. I know what I heard. Mm-hmm. I know what I felt. And it's all through the grace of God, of his healing power, that gets us through this life into the glories of his kingdom. And for that, I give him all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And I thank him so much for you being here tonight to tell us this. Your gift was to be here. And I thank you. We all thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Awesome. Amen. Praise the God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. You got a testimony. Stand up. Speak up. We'll get the microphone back there. Hallelujah. Love never fails.
Today is Gotcha Day.
Wednesday.
It is Gotcha Day. Today is Gotcha Day. 11 years today since we come home with Amy and Chad, or since we actually got him out of the orphanage. 11 years. Cool. 11 years. I don't know. But, you know.
Thank you, Jesus.
God told my wife when we got the kids that he would provide for them. And I have watched God provide for those two just in the last 2 months or something like that. Chad's cleats fell off while we met the baseball field. The coach gave him another pair. 2 weeks later, he brings him in a bat bag. Chad's been wanting one like bad. And he gave him a bat bag. And then another lady shows up at the ball field with two pair of pants, you know, practice pants for him. You know, just one thing after another, no matter where those kids go, somebody is giving them something. Every time we turn around, somebody's just giving them something. Mm. And God gave me a bicycle for Chad the other day. Just, you know, that's a real good one. It's not no, like, little cheap thing. It's a good bicycle.
Amen.
You know, good. I can't put it into words how many times God has done it. Just time and time and time and time and time again. It's like, wow. You know, it's just, it's just little stuff, but, you know, awesome, it adds up. It just, every time he does it, it's like, there you go again, God. You're doing it again, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Everywhere we go, just people don't even know us. Amen. Come up and just give them stuff. Just.
Amen. Let's exalt the Lord. Let's thank. That is just awesome. Amen. For God to take two little kids from over there in nowhere land on the other side of the world, right, in an orphanage, forgotten and left, and to hear their cry and to love them that much, that he lifts them up out of there, gives them a life, and like you said, the favor of God is all over them. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of an awesome God that cares for his people. Amen? Amen. That is awesome.
Hallelujah.
They're wonderful kids. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. You know, this song, I don't know how long this song has been out. I mean, before Christy them played it, you know, 2 weeks ago or whatever, but I love this song to death. I mean, I'm stuck on this song. I'm singing this song all day long, you know. And it's one of them things, I mean, it's a Bible song. It's the scriptures. You know what I mean? God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, you know. And it's all Bible, you know. And I said to Dave back here when we were singing, you know, you hear people when you say something, when you say about never do this or that, they say, well, never say never. Well, I tell you what, God is the exception to the never rule, because he never gives up. Oh, he'll never run out on us. Man, you know, you can take it to the bank. I mean, I don't care. The never clause don't, it ain't no effect with God. Hallelujah, because he'll never leave us. And I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of times your flesh, come on, we go through times or whatever, and we think he's in North Carolina or South Carolina or whatever, you know, like Dave would say. But I'm telling you what, more and more, we got to get in on our spirit, and we got to understand a song like this and know that it don't matter. We may not understand things, but that don't mean that God's not with us, because he said he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. And he's always going to be with us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Well, yeah, I love that song too. I don't know if you noticed, I was over here dancing and singing.
Somebody's standing up and dancing, yeah.
And everything else. And I'll just tell you one thing. Worship team, here I come.
The Dancing Gary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The goodness of God. Amen. It just reminded me of this scripture, Romans 5:5, starting out. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also, see, that what I like about this part is that we all have that understanding, and then all of a sudden, stuff happens, right? We have that understanding about, wow, it's so glorious, and it's awesome. We're by faith, we're entering in this grace, and we're rejoicing in God's glory and everything. And then comes the everyday or the stuff of life. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. And we taught about on this not too long ago, we're not glorying in the tribulations. We're just glorying while we're in the tribulation. You see? We're saying, gee, God, you're awesome. Right? We're singing, your love never fails, never gives up. You are a great God. You are an awesome God. And we're all excited for God. And everything could be going totally wrong around us, but we're glorying in God. Wait till I've done this scripture. Hold on. And then it says that... that we're glorying, verse 3, Romans 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, when you're talking about spiritual growth, you can't get away from perseverance. You can't get away from these words about character. And you can't get away from the word hope. And then verse 5 says this. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Why could Paul be so convinced that his hope in God is not going to disappoint him? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So what he was saying is that, you know, God is awesome, and he's glorying in God. And he's saying, yeah, but, you know, we have these tribulations. But you know what? I'm glorying in God even though I have the tribulation. And in the midst of that tribulation, I'm learning to endure. I'm learning patience. I'm going through the growing pains. But you know what? I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to come up empty-handed, because you have no idea the kind of love of God that I've tasted. That's what he's saying. He says, you don't understand it. You know, you can look at the tribulations. Things aren't going good. Things aren't going well. Hardship. Yeah, we have to learn all this stuff and so on and so on. But you know what? I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm not coming up empty-handed because I have tasted of the love of my God. I you know, this love that makes me secure, makes me keeps me hopeful, realizing that, you know what, it doesn't matter what the end of this is, the love I'm experiencing is worth it all. Because when I glory in God and I focus on Him, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the Spirit's job. So when I'm focused on the things of the Spirit, I'm all filled up with His love. And that love is more than enough. That love motivated the living God to send His only begotten Son. That love is what allowed the Lord Jesus to go to the cross and die for us. That love that we're talking about, having that love of God shed abroad. Remember in John 17, Jesus prayed, Father, that love that you have for me, let it be in them also. That's what he prayed. Lord, you know, they're going to be in this world. You're not going to take them out of this world, but Lord, keep them. And Lord, let the love that you have in your heart be in them also. And when that love is shed abroad in our hearts, that's more than enough. I know that things are going to be okay. I'm not going to be disappointed because I've already got the love of God that is in me. It's far more worth anything. You know, I'm going to glory even in the tribulation. I'm going to glory because when I'm focused on Him, the veil is taken away and I see Him as He is and my life is never the same. The love of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you have something you wanted to share, Tammy? I'm sorry, I had to. You found it. Okay. All righty. Praise God. The love of God. Let's turn to that scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Tammy and I were both woken up with this scripture today. A friend of ours texted something, and it happened to be going right along with a vision and a dream I was having of, you know what? We are born again as a new creation, and the people, is it second? Yeah, the people that we are, we are those that have been created to live out of the heavenly realm, out of revelation, out of divine vision. You know, Proverbs says, without a vision, people perish, or without revelation, they cast off restraint. In other words, they can't stay focused on things without a vision of where they're going. And we have to. We are created to be a people that live out of the vision of heaven. Remember in Matthew 6 when Jesus was teaching us to pray? This is how you need to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He also said to his disciples, it's given to you to know the things of the kingdom. We are people that are supposed to be living out of revelation. We need to be quickening. We need to be a people that live out of the quickening of God, not out of our intellect, not out of our pulling ourselves up by our bootstrap, but living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, by being sustained by the Spirit of God, and to be living in that realm. That's our norm. That's who we are. We've been born again, not by the will of man or not by the will of any flesh, but by the very will of God. It's the Spirit of God that is birthed in us. We are spiritual creatures. We in ourselves are a supernatural ordeal, a supernatural person. You know, we're no longer of this earth. We're a new creation. We're a peculiar people, a holy nation. You know, that's who we are. So we need to understand that the life that we derive from is not out of our natural man, but it's out of the Spirit of God. It's out of what God has placed in us. That's why it's so awesome to just bask in His love, because that's what He has shed abroad in our hearts as a sustaining power that we know that we belong to him. And it doesn't matter what goes on in this life, who does what or doesn't do whatever. I am loved by the living God. And whom he loves, he cares for. Amen? So where was I? 2 Corinthians. Yeah. She has a different translation that I was reading.
This is the best.
Okay, you read it.
You want me to read it?
Mm-hmm. You want to get the other one? Yeah. You read that one.
Are you awake?
Yes. Do you need my glasses? Can you see it?
I think I'm okay.
Okay.
So if it comes out wrong, I'm going to take your glasses.
Do you want me to hold it over there by the chair?
Yeah. No. This is so cool. Just listen to this. This is awesome. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, did anybody here ever turn to the Lord? Put your hand up. Have you turned to the Lord? Yes. See, this is for you. It's for me too. Ready? But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that awesome?
Amen. Being changed in the image of God. We're still on our excursion of growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're growing, right? And oftentimes we understand that sometimes there's growing pains, sometimes there's things that we don't like to go through to grow and so on. And, you know, but in the midst of that, his love is shed abroad in our hearts, so we're not disappointed because we get to walk through whatever we got to walk through with the Lord. Amen? And so that we don't come up empty because he fills our lives with who he is and fills our lives with himself. And in Revelation is something that is commonplace to the people of God. You know, for us to receive a divine revelation or enlightenment, something beyond our own capability of understanding, is at the very core of who we are. Because we could not even be born again. Jesus said, no one can call me Lord, or no one can come to me unless the Father reveals that to me. No one can call me Lord unless the Father reveals it, you know. And when Peter revealed that to Jesus, when he asked him, who do you say that you are? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, Peter, you are blessed because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And as Tammy was reading that, we are the ones without the veils on.
Yes.
We have turned to Jesus. We are living an unveiled life. We get to see the things of God. We get to be part of this thing. And we get to see what the Father's doing. That's the inheritance of the children of God. Jesus says, I come, I'm the Son of God. I come and I do what I see that my Father doing. He says, I must be about my Father's business. And just in that same realm as he being the firstborn of this new creation, we are the same. We are those that walk in the full visibility. We have it available to us to see what God is doing in our lives. All we've got to do is seek it, right? Seek it. Seek the Lord. That's why in Colossians 3:1 it says to seek or focus on things that are above. We all know that we can walk through life with our heads down, just looking at, you know, almost like the chickens. You know, every see them walking, they're pecking. If it's on the ground, they've got it covered, right? But you know, just this high, and they miss it because their head is always down. It's the same with us. And, you know, we can live through this life with our head down all the time. But the Bible says, lift up your heads, O you gates, that the King of glory may come in. He is the glory and the lifter of our head. And we need to lift our head so that we begin to perceive, because we have the ability to perceive what God is doing in the situations, what God is doing around us. And we have that inheritance. It's built into who we are. We can know the things of God and the ways of God. All we've got to do is lift our heads. All we've got to do is seek him while he may be found. Matthew 7 tells us to ask, seek, and knock, because the seeking is very important, because we can be blind just like everybody else. But if we exercise our godly heritage and our godly right and lift up our heads, guess what? The whole kingdom of God is open to us. We are the children of God. We are heirs to the kingdom. And are we going to walk with our heads hung down?
No.
Are we going to wake up as the people of God and begin to be involved with what God's doing and looking to see what he's doing? Because understanding that's our inheritance. See, some people think, well, that's not me. You know, poor me, I don't know enough. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know, right? It's about who you know. It is a who you know thing. I remember before people say, well, I don't like that who you know stuff. It's about what you know, and it's about what you do, and it's about what you earn. Hey, forget it. Turn it all upside down. Forget all that learning stuff, right? I'm telling you, it is about who you know, and it's about knowing Jesus. You know, eternal life is to know him and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's all about knowing him, and it's all about knowing what he's doing. He says, you are no longer, you know, servants, your friends, because a friend knows what the master's doing. It says in the Gospel of John, we know what he's doing because we have been enlightened. We're no longer the veil. The enemy will come in and say, well, no, that's not you. You can't see. God never shows you. God never. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And when you recognize it is the day that you take your eye off of that lie and you focus on him and the veil's away. You see, if we're focused on the lie, guess what? We're not looking unto Jesus. It says those that look unto Jesus, the veil is taken away, right? But we take our eyes off of that lie. Says, well, no, you know, I'm just not good enough. And, you know, I'm not, you know, one of those anointed people. I don't get up and give testimonies at church. I don't preach at church. I don't sing on the worship team. I don't. And we can keep ourselves down, just pecking on the ground, right? Or we can realize, wait a minute. You know, I'm a child of God. I've received, 1 John says, I have received an anointing from the Holy One. You realize that you have an anointing from God himself? What is in you, the Holy Spirit that's in you, the Jesus that's in you, is something that's been touched and placed and graced in your life by him himself. I can't do that, right? Nobody else can do that. God did that. And that anointing in you is from the very hand of God. And you have been anointed as his ambassador. You've been anointed as a prophet of God to speak forth the things of God. You've been anointed to be able to see what God's doing. You've been anointed as a son of God, as a representative of the very family of God that we've been named after our Heavenly Father. And we have the right as the children of God. That's who we are. Isn't that awesome? And, you know, no more running around like chickens pecking at the ground, right? And not seeing anything, you know, not looking at what's around. But we're like eagles. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. We become like eagles, soaring above, looking down with eyesight that is, you know, perfect, able to see everything, but yet we're soaring above. The wind comes against us, guess what? We use its current to soar higher. You know what that means? That means when I walk out of this place and I run into a little bit of trouble of life, I just call upon the name of the Lord. I'm spreading my wings. I'm using the force of that coming against me to raise me higher. And next thing you know, I'm just higher, and I'm up there, just soaring around, just kind of gliding around. Hallelujah. You know, my son and daughter decided they were going to start some plants, and they're going to have a garden in the backyard. And every window in the house has plants started in these little buckets and little cups and starting to really grow pretty good. I mean, they started early because, you know, they got that warm spell, and next thing you know, it got a little bit colder and, you know, frost warning, so you can't plant it yet. And so these things are still in the house. But have you noticed when you do that with plants and you put them by the window? Why do we put them by the window? Because of the sunlight. Why do we need revelation? Why do we need to be enlightened by God? Why do we need the eyes of our understanding to be open for growth? But now you put the plant beside the window, what happens? Does the plant just grow straight up? No, the plant's going like that, right? It's leaning towards the light, okay? And as Christians, we lean, in our Christianity, we lean towards what revelation understanding we have from God, don't we? But I watched as Peter and Jen went over and they saw these plants leaning. They didn't like them leaning like that. So what did they do? They turned them around. Okay, so now they're no longer facing the light. So what's the plant do? It starts bending back the other way, right? And it's the same thing with us. The Lord, we have ways in our lives that we, when we're not directly under the sunlight, we are leaning towards the light. All of us have things that are blocking our vision and our revelation of God. There's things that we all have, right, in our lives. So it causes us, when we grow, we still grow, but we grow bent. But the Lord comes along, what's he do? He turns it, right? Because ultimately he wants us to grow. And then finally there'll be a day that we are planted out, right, in the view of the full sunlight, and we grow up straight and strong. But as I was looking at that, I was saying, you know, Lord, you know, the light that's coming in that window is like, it's like the revelation. Do you understand that the revelation of God is our very lifeline? It's when we're talking about living the abundant life and the life of God, it's not just going through our day and just making it and say, well, thank God, that's great, I made it. No, Jesus said, I don't live by bread alone. Sometimes we're thankful just to have bread. Jesus said, I don't live by bread alone. But I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm waiting for every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am looking. I am seeking. I am hungry. I am focused on that. I am just waiting for a divine word of God. I'm waiting for God to speak the word and it comes alive. Don't you love it when you read scripture? You might have read it a million times, but you read it today and all of a sudden, boom, it comes alive. And you ever talk to anybody about that? This happened the other day. We're with Robin, and she starts sharing the scripture, and I'm like, looking at Tammy, like, is this a big deal? I mean, I thought I read that before, and that's, you know, and it's coming to her like it's just fresh revelation. But it was. And it was fresh revelation. And I began to see, Lord, you know, that's where it's at. It doesn't matter how many times we read it. It doesn't matter how much we got it in our head. It doesn't matter if we can quote it and I can say, oh, yeah, that's nothing. I read that before. Well, yeah, it's nothing because you're just relying on your own intellect to say you've been there before and done that. But you're not taking the time to breathe in the fresh revelation of it. And that's what Frank was saying about the love never fails and never gives up. You know, we can just say, yeah, never fails, never give up. No kidding. The Bible says that. I learned that in kindergarten. Or you can begin to drink it in and let it become fresh manna and fresh revelation. That's what I'm talking about, is what you and I have been meant to live on, the fresh revelation. And we need to be expecting it. You know, I went to bed last night, and I said, Lord, I'm going to the Philippines. I've been really busy doing this, doing that, and everything. And we've had Robin with us now for a number of days. And we're going everywhere. And I'm thinking, I didn't have a chance even to really have some time with you, Lord. I need fresh revelation. And I went to bed just meditating on, Lord, how much I need fresh revelation. And I'm telling you, you know, all night long, he just was downloading things. just downloading things. And then we wake up, and I hear the cell phone, and it's her friend Cindy that wakes up the wee hours of the morning and texts her. You know, this is an awesome verse, 2 Corinthians 3:16. You know, and it was exactly the thing that at that moment that where I was in my revelation with God, you know, and just that's how we're meant to live, and we shouldn't sell ourselves short of that. And you might come along and say, well, you know what, I got sin in my life. Well, you know what, everybody does. And I don't make light of sin. It did put Jesus on the cross. And if you got sin in your life, you need to deal with it. Go before the altar, repent, and you know, because it's going to cause death and destruction in your life. But I want you to know that will never keep you. If you seek God, He will be found by you. If you come to Him, He will not turn you away. He will not turn you away. Because let me tell you something. Your forgiveness and your right to that revelation has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as we were praying and the Lord quickened it to me, I'm not asking for something cheap and free. I'm asking for something that was paid for dearly. You see, the revelation that you and I get to live by was paid for with such an incredible price. The Bible says we weren't redeemed with gold and silver and those kind of perishable things. But we were redeemed by the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The price was paid. It was an incredible price. It is not cheap, but it's ours. Don't feel bad about asking for something that Jesus paid for you and paid such a dear price. Now, if I decided, you know what, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to buy you tickets to go on an incredible vacation. Incredible vacation. I'm going to buy you these tickets. Here you go. Go. And everybody here knew about it. And the date and the time came when you were supposed to be leaving on that trip. And they're saying, well, how come you're not going there? What are you doing? You're not going on the trip. Never mind. Mind your own business. I won the trip, right? Mind your own business. The day comes and the day goes, and she comes in the church next Sunday, and she's still here. She's not on the trip. You might say, what a shame. The poor pastor paid all that money to send her on this trip, and she's still sitting there. That's just a little comparison to what Jesus has paid for us. To be living, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from His mouth. That is such a small view of what has been paid for us to be living in the right as a child of God and not sitting back, but yet standing up, grabbing a hold, and believing God and walking in who we are in Him. As a new creation, putting on the new man. Right now, just put on the new man, guys. Come on. Putting on a new man, just like a coat. We're just putting on the new man, right? The old man with all the junk, all the lie, all the deceit, all of that stuff, that's over there. I'm putting on this new man that is clothed with the glory of God. Now, he didn't just clothe us, throw a little blanket over us because we were chilly and we were naked. No, He clothed us with His glory. He took His best, His finest, and sacrificed Him for us. He didn't just, you know, like the story with Abraham. He found a ram in the thicket. It wasn't just a ram. It was His only begotten Son, Jesus, that He allowed to be crucified for us, so that He that knew no sin became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No more chicken thing.
No more chickens.
God give you a revelation that we're all supposed to wake up at 5:45 this morning, because that's exactly what time I was up.
No, God, that's cool, but God didn't give me that revelation, but if he gave it to you, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. His love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. You know, as Elisha, you know, the kings were all assembled because they were afraid. They went out for war. Jehoshaphat was there, and the king of Israel and the king of Judah and a couple other kings, and the opposing army was about ready to crush them. And they said, wait a minute, isn't there anyone that knows the word of God? Doesn't anybody have a word? This is in 2 Kings chapter 3. Doesn't anybody have a word from God? And they said, you know what? We know of this one called, his name is called Elisha. They might say, hey, you know what? I know this one, his name's called Robert. Lives up the road here. I know this one called Roy, lives across the street. I know this one. I know this Tammy that lives down there in Royalton. Why don't you go ask them what God has to say? And Elijah came, the Bible says, and he came to them. He said, you know what? You guys are a mess. I don't even want to talk to you. But he discerned there was one there. Was it Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah? We know that Judah means what? Praise. Judah means praise. And he said, if it wasn't for Judah in your midst, I wouldn't even be talking to you. But since he's here, bring me a musician. Bring a minstrel in here. Because Judah, who represented praise, he knew, he said, wait a minute. Let's get the musicians playing. Let's get some praise going here. And the Bible says, as they began to lift up the music to the Lord, the word of the Lord came to Elisha and told him exactly what you need to do. And the Lord delivered his people. Amen? What an incredible story. I was going to tell you all about it, but I gave you the Reader's Digest version. And this evening as we go, we're going to play that song again, and we're going to dismiss with that song. But I want you to understand today that just as in 2 Kings chapter 3, as he said, is there anyone that has any revelation in this place? Is there anyone? I mean, we're against the enemy. We don't know which way to turn. We're pretty depressed. But yet, is it anyone can just kind of give us some fresh revelation here that we got something here going? Hey, there's Elisha. Let's hear what he has to say. And he said, people just begin to praise him. And the word of the Lord came into the situation, right? The word of the Lord. As we sing this song, I'm going to ask the Lord for fresh revelation to touch us. Fresh revelation to come into our lives. Why not? Why can't we ask for that? It's been bought for the blood of Jesus. It is so much ours. It's more ours than anything you could ever possibly earn and own on your own. It's been bought and paid for and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing the song, and we're going to believe for his word to freshly rise up within us, that when we're finished here and we walk out of this place, we walk out knowing that we're people of fresh revelation. We've been refreshed by God. We believe God. We know that his love never fails us. It never gives up, and it doesn't matter. It just goes on and on. God is faithful. God will always come through for us. His hope doesn't disappoint us because his love is shed abroad in our hearts, as we read in Romans 5. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all rise up as the people of God, just as they stood around that day and said, hey, is there anybody that hears from God here? Is there anyone that hears from God? Oh, yeah, Elisha does. Kathy does, right? Anybody else here hear from God? Do I have anybody here that can hear from God? Come on, anybody. All right.
mountains that I face, and it's stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the change, this one thing, it remains your love. 'Cause your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. And your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
You, hey, don't miss Sunday. You are going to be blessed. You are going to be touched. The children are doing an incredible production, and they're actually ministering. okay? The children will be ministering, and we'll have a wonderful time with the Lord. Yeah, that.
Something like that. Yeah.
And he's been saying that ever since. Push the delete button.